Bible, turn to John chapter 9. John chapter 9, we are finishing our series on making biblical sense of our senses. And I don't know about you, it's been an enjoyable series for me. It's not one of those that you'll say, boy, that was all just flat out life changing. But there's neat truth about it that will help you. And again, tonight, this will help you. This will help you as a soul winner. This will help you as a Christian. This will help you in your understanding, maybe even of some biblical teaching and some mistaught biblical teaching. And I think I can help you tonight. I'm calling this Jesus Healed Man's Senses. Jesus Healed Man's Senses. Now, we're going to read a lot of verses tonight, all right? So get your Bibles out. Those of you that need glasses, put them on, because here we go, all right? Verse number 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is interpretation, sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. The neighbors, therefore, they had nosy neighbors back then too, all right? The neighbors, therefore, when they had, and they which were, which before had seen him, that he was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, He is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, How are thine eyes opened? He answered and said, A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received my sight. Then said they unto him, Where is he? He said, I know not. They brought him to the Pharisees. They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, He put clay on mine eyes, and I washed and do see. Now, skip over to verse 23. I'd like to read the whole chapter, but for time, I won't. Verse 23, Therefore said his parents, He is of age, ask him. Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, Give God the praise, we know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Then said they unto him again, What did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I have told you already, and ye did not hear. Wherefore would ye hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? Then they reviled him and said, Thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. The man answered and said unto them, Why, herein is a marvelous thing, that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshipper of God, and doth and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. They answered and said unto him, Thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. And Jesus said, For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees, which were with him, heard these words and said unto him, Are we blind also? Jesus said unto them, If ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, We see, therefore your sin remaineth. Now, time is going to prevent me from doing this topic justice. I could use probably well over 100 different scriptures tonight. We don't have time for that. But I want to use many scriptures. I'll refer to many scriptures. Show mercy on me. If I don't use the one that you might be thinking about, hang on, it might come. And if not, that's God telling you, that's another one, all right? Jesus had multitudes of people that followed him. You have to understand something. Jesus was a very well-known figure. The Bible says that the multitudes followed him. There were so many people following him, they didn't even number them. We know at one time there were 5,000 men that he fed. There were probably estimates anywhere from 15,000 to 30,000 people that Jesus fed at that one time, just following him. Another time he fed 4,000. And you have to understand, these were thousands and thousands and thousands of people following him. everywhere he went, he was healing people. Take your Bible, turn to John chapter 21. And keep your Bible there in John chapter 9, but in John chapter 21, thank you, April, that was bothering me. You could tell, couldn't you? John chapter 21, look at verse number 25. The last verse of the last chapter of the book of John. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. Jesus did so many good things to so many people. The Bible says that if they were all written, probably the world couldn't contain all the books. That's a lot of stuff. Now, I say that to say this. Some are written in the Bible. Many are not. And I'm going to say this right now. I'll say more about it later. The faith healers of today are nothing like Jesus Christ. Let me say that again. The faith healers of today are nothing like Jesus Christ. He was not making wealth out of showmanship. He just went about helping people. He didn't turn it into a show. He didn't turn it into public service. He didn't turn it into a way to make money. Matter of fact, he was homeless. He just went about doing good. Here in John chapter 9, to me, is one of the most amazing stories in the Bible. You have a man who is an adult man who was born blind. And that's a key statement right there. We pass by words in the Bible so much. I was preparing this. I began to laugh. I began to laugh out loud, and my secretary thought something was wrong. I ended up having to tell her, I said, to me, this is one of the most stupid statements in the Bible. She looked at me. Look at verse number 2. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents? Now, wait a minute. If he was born blind, what sin did he commit in the womb to cause him to be blind? Did you ever think of that? What a stupid question. You say, well, there's no stupid questions. That's one of them. Hate to tell you, that's one of them. How could he have sinned before he was born to cause blindness? Everybody see that? All right. Jesus said, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents. That doesn't mean that they were perfect people. What Jesus said was, neither of them committed a sin that caused him to be born blind. Okay, now, I say that on purpose because we're going somewhere with this. They were asking Jesus, is God judging this man because of sin? Is God judging this man because of his sin? Or is God judging this man because of his parents' sin? And Jesus said, no, that's not how it works. Boy, I wish the charismatic friends would understand that. I wish Baptist folks would understand that. You have to understand something. I love Jesus' answer. Look at verse number 3. Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Folks, look at me. If you are a saved person, and honestly, most lost people are not facing physical affliction due to sin. You will face the repercussion of sowing and reaping because of sin, because we're all sinners and we're all going to die. We're all in a process of death. But just because you get a cold or just because you get cancer, God's not saying, well, you committed a bad sin and God's judging you. If you're saved, you will never be judged for your sin because Jesus took care of your sin. Your sin debt's been cared for, and there is no judgment for it. That is contrary to Scripture. Everybody doing okay? I know somebody that... Now, if you live immoral, you can pick up diseases. If you smoke cigarettes or cigars... Amen, Hmong? If you smoke cigarettes, God didn't say he's going to prevent you from getting cancer. But he's not judging you with cancer. That's your own stupidity. Sorry, I don't mean to be so blunt. That's just like saying, well, I weigh 1,400 pounds and eating is a sickness. Folks, eating that much is not a sickness. There's one way to fix that. Wire your jaw shut for about 6 months. You'll be okay. It's in direct result of what goes in there. Now, I say that to say this. I got to go on a diet. No. We will receive sowing and reaping for our sins. But that doesn't mean God's judging you because you got a cold. God's not judging you because... you got the flu. God's not judging you because your gizzard's got a goiter on it. God's not judging you because of those things. That is a result of sowing and reaping. Everybody understand the difference? God doesn't look down at Evan Barnes and say, Evan, I'm going to strike you with stupidity because of the way you live. It was too late. No, I'm teasing. God's not going to do that. God's not going to say, I don't like Evan Barnes, so I'm going to take his hearing from him. He doesn't do that. Now, Evan may someday lose his hearing, but that's because of his wife nagging at him all the time. Wait a minute. Can I tell you something? We've gotten into this realm in our country to where if a Christian gets sick, then God's judging them, or, well, God's going to make your children sick because of the way you're living. That's not how God works. God's not going to punish your children for your sin. He's going to punish you. You know, when I do something wrong, and I'm going to be pretty blunt here, but let's say I was rearing my kids at home. My mom and dad are in town. My dad didn't agree with me. He didn't go punish my children because he disagreed with me. You say, that's pretty odd. That's what you make God out to be. Just because you did something wrong doesn't mean God's going to punish your children. That's charismatic teaching. That's not Bible doctrine. That's the same thing the disciples asked Jesus, and he said, uh-uh. Doesn't work that way. Now, here we go. Everybody doing all right? Take a deep breath. It's only going to get tougher. All right? Now, the Jews, I love this. After he did that, Jesus, and I'm not going to recreate it, the Bible says that Jesus looked at the man, he spit in the ground, picked up that spit and that mud and put it on that man's eyes and said, I want you to go over to the pool of Siloam and wash. And when he did, his eyes were open and he could see. He had been born blind. Now, his eyes are one of his senses. He was minus one of his senses, and God healed that sense of sight. God literally spit into the dust of the earth. By the way, Jesus was there at creation because he is God. He was the creator. He knew how to fix those eyes. Not only that, I love this. When he spit, he put life-giving breath. He inspired life back into those eyes. You can't spit without, you got to have air going with it. Now you can drool and not be breathing out your mouth, but you can't spit. Can I tell you something? It was just like creation and God giving life into man. He put life back into the eyes of that man with his breath, with his spit, and with the dust of the ground from which man was created. I love that. The Jews were upset, especially because it happened on the Sabbath. Now, Sunday is not the Christian Sabbath. According to the book of Colossians, all the Sabbaths were nailed to the cross. Sunday is the Lord's Day. It's not the Sabbath. Everybody doing okay? We're not Seventh-day Adventists. We're Christians. All right? Jesus wanted to... By the way, I don't have ashes on my head today either. What was the question you asked me yesterday? My secretary is a former denominationalist. Something about palm leaves. Oh, they burned the leftover palm leaves from last year's Palm Sunday for the ashes for this year's... Okay. She said, where's your palm leaves? I said, in the compost pile. They're already dirt. Amen. Good night. Yeah, I just thought that was funny. All these people run around. Now they got ashes to go. I saw in the news tonight. And you can drive up and they'll do their little doo-jigger on your head. And you can drive away with ashes on your head. I'm sorry. I told my wife, I said, I am so glad I'm not a Catholic. That is really stupid. You know, my mama taught me to wash that stuff off my forehead, not put it on there. Now, wait a minute. They were upset. The Pharisees were upset. The governors were upset. The Jews were upset that the Sabbath was broken by Jesus. And not that wasn't the biggest problem. They were upset because Jesus' popularity was bigger than theirs. They had the Trump disease. I mean, they had that disease of they wanted the preeminence. Now, most of Jesus' recorded miracles dealt with people in their senses. They either were blind, they were deaf, they could not speak, and they had physical ailments that caused pain in their feeling. Many, many, and I can say most of his miracles that are recorded dealt with man's senses. Now, you can live without one or more of your senses, but God made your senses for you to enjoy this world as he wanted. Now, humans have allowed sin to pervert their senses. We've been studying that. When man sinned, man's senses are perverted. Did you know that in San Diego, California, San Diego County, they're having troubles because of public urination? They're telling people not to touch the telephone poles because that's where people are, and they're having a problem with the sanitation. Folks, animals have better sense than that. And they're not going to tell people because they might offend them. Lord have mercy. Humans let their senses now control them. Target has taken the boys' toys and girls' toys down. It's not a boys' aisle and a girls' aisle. It just now is toys' aisle because they need to be gender neutral. They also decided that they're going to do that in the bedding department and bedspread so that the boys and the girls can choose whatever they want, and it's not a boys' section and a girls' section because they might not know what they are yet. Makes you not want to go to Target, amen? Now, wait a minute. man now lives for the stimulation of his senses instead of obedience to God. The people, many of the multitude that followed Jesus, only followed him to get something from him. It was for personal gain. Now, Jesus wasn't upset with that. You know that Jesus was not upset with the people that followed him just so they could get something from him? He wanted to help as many of them as he could. I'm going to make a statement here. Chew on this one before you get mad at me. But I find nowhere in the Bible that Jesus only helped saved, separated people who were full of faith. I find nowhere in the Bible to prove that. Matter of fact, Malchus, whose ear Peter cut off in the Garden of Gethsemane, who was a soldier, probably was a lost man, and Jesus healed him that quick by putting his ear back on. That was one of the men that took Jesus to crucify him. I find nowhere in Scripture that one of the prerequisites is that you had to be saved and full of faith to be healed. Everybody doing all right? It's not like the modern faith healers of today. I don't care how many times you repeat, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, be healed. And all of a sudden the bursitis in your shoulder's gone, amen? I don't care how many times you say it. It doesn't mean it's, by the way, they'll tell you, unless you have faith, you can't get healed. That's not in the Bible. It's nowhere in Scripture. Now, there are times people came to him. The nobleman came and said, look, my child is sick. And he said, well, bring your child here. He said, there's not time. My child's going to die. You could heal my child from right here. And Jesus said, your faith is so strong. Go ahead and go home. It'll be cared for. I believe God honored people's faith, but I find nowhere where that was a prerequisite for someone to get healing. By the way, did you know that God heals lost people today? If they cut their hand or they cut their finger, their body will heal. Jesus is the great physician. He made their bodies to heal themselves. Did you know lost people can be cured of cancer just like saved people can? That means God heals lost people as well as saved people today. We are all his creation. Everybody doing okay? Now, the Jews hounded this man and his parents to find out how Jesus healed him. He said, look, what did he do? What did he do? He said, look, he spit on the ground, put dirt on my eyes, told me to go wash, and said I'd be whole, and now I can see. Jesus only did this so people would listen to the gospel. It proved his deity, and it got people's attention to listen to the gospel. For all of my critics that say, well, you're just bribing people to come to church. Gimmickry. So all you want to do is have trinkets and toys to get people to come to church, and they should come to church for the right reason. Well, I guess Jesus used the same methods, huh? He was healing people, and people were coming to listen to him preach the gospel. If you look at John chapter 9, verse 35 through 38, he tells that there in that passage. Now, people with senses needing healed were not in the judgment of God. They were there for Jesus to heal. Now, I'm going to talk about this healing of our senses. Number one, and I've got to hurry. Good night, and we're going to go fast here. Number one, people getting sick, hurt, and etc. are not being judged by God. First off, if you get sick, God is not telling you, he's judging you for your sin. Judgment for sin is not done on earth. Judgment for sin is not done on earth. That's what salvation's for, or for the lost people, the great white throne. That's where the final judgment is. Now, wait a minute. God has warned people to quit sinning And if they didn't quit a certain sin, he was going to chastise them. Matter of fact, Sodom and Gomorrah, the Sodomites, he said, I'm going to destroy them because it's destroying my people. And that's where that came from. But it was a matter of protecting God's people, not necessarily a judgment of God. Now, wait a minute. Reaping the consequences of sin happens here on earth. We're all sinners, and our sin doesn't affect us just at the time we are sinning. Did you know that a child comes forth of the womb lying, the Bible says? You know, you never have to teach a child how to lie. They do it naturally. Yes. The terrible twos and the terrible threes. Can I tell you what that is? A child acting like a lost person. Yeah. Don't get so out of sorts. Yours did it. Or if you don't have them, they're going to do it. Some of you still haven't grown out of it. You don't have to teach a child to lie. They know how to do it naturally. They really do. You know, you can have one child, and that kid can learn how to lie by themselves. They come forth of the womb knowing how to lie. You say, how do you know? Because about 3 o'clock in the morning that first night, and that puppy starts screaming, you think it's dying, and it's just hungry. It's lying to you, amen? You fed that thing, you changed it, you oiled it, you lubed it, it's clean and dry, and it's still screaming because it's lying to you, amen? Now, wait a minute. Saved people do not face judgment for sin because it was cared for at Calvary. Take your Bible, turn to 1 John chapter 3. I've got to show you this. It goes so well with what Jesus said here in John chapter 9. 1 John chapter 3, look at one verse, verse number 9. Watch this. Whosoever is born of God, watch this, doth not commit sin. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Now, listen to me carefully. It doesn't say once you get saved, you'll never sin again. But in God's eyes, once you're saved, Brother Barnes, the day you got saved, from that point on, your past sin wasn't only forgiven and taken care of. Your present sin and your future sin was cared for. And God does not see your sin. And in his eyes, you're not committing sin. Because you have the righteousness of God and Jesus Christ's account added to your life, and he doesn't see your sin. That is what 1 John 3:9 is talking about. Because his seed remaineth in him. That's why you can't lose your salvation. There's not a sin you can commit that'll cause you to lose your salvation. Now watch, you say, why? Because there wasn't a sin you could get rid of to get you saved. You just trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's what it took. That's where that seed came into you. You were born again. The seed was conceived for salvation. Now watch this. Jesus, when the disciples said, who hath sinned, this man or his parents? And Jesus said, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents. They were saved. That's why Jesus said they hadn't sinned. It doesn't mean that they weren't sinners. But it means in God's eyes, because they were saved, God could not see their sin. And on the record books, there's no sin accounted for on their record. That's how salvation takes care of it. Amen? Now, I got to hurry here. Saved people don't face judgment for sin. Only you'll face the repercussions of sowing and reaping. Again, you smoke cigarettes, you're going to get cancer. You do this, you're going to get that. You know, you play in vomit, you're going to get the flu. You know, all those things. You say, that's just gross. If you can think on your feet any faster, go for it, all right? Lost people face judgment at the great white throne judgment for their sin. You see, how somebody else's sin affects now doesn't mean that they're going to get final judgment for it. The drunk driver who crossed the center line and killed somebody last night, though they may go to jail for a while for their sin, that's not their final punishment for it. They're going to face God for that one day as well. The going to prison or whatever they face down here is the sowing and reaping, but when they get to heaven, that's when they're going to get the final judgment on the sin that they had committed. Make sense to everybody? Okay, here we go. Humans want to assume that if a person has a sensual deformity, that it is God or it's either God's fault, that person's fault, or their parents' fault. Ashley and Joe have Gus, and Gus is a special needs boy. Now we know that Joe's a sinner. We know he's a real bad sinner. He's listening right now. He's going to bang on that wall in a second, I'm sure. Now, wait a minute. Can I tell you something? I don't believe Gus was born that way to judge Joe and Ashley. I think God made Gus that way for Gus's sake on purpose. It's not a matter of judgment. Not a matter of Ashley or Joe did something wrong. No, God gives special people special children. And there's a reason God made him that way. Can I tell you something? It's not a judgment of God. So many people say, well, so-and-so is, they have a child and they're blind. And boy, I wonder what they did wrong. That's wicked. I hate to tell you that. Everybody doing okay? I better hurry up here. Number two. What all types of things did Jesus heal? Well, he healed blind people. He healed deaf people. There's a word I'm going to use. I'll explain it. He healed dumb people. That means they couldn't talk. All right. It doesn't mean mental illness necessarily. It meant people that could not speak. those are Southerners. He healed people that were lame. He healed people that were near death. He healed blood issues, bone issues, and put body parts back together. He did all types of different healing. It wasn't just things you could not see. Can you imagine Ernest Angley trying to put Malchus's ear back on? I wonder how many times he'd have to slap him in the head before it stuck. I'm not kidding. I know I tease about that name a lot. I had to look it up because I haven't heard of that dude in a long time. You know, the guy's 94 years old and still going. I just laugh at it. And people are still sucking it down. Now, wait a minute. He healed all different types of things, not just things you could not see. These faith healers heal things you can't see. If you walked up and you cut your finger off and said, here, heal my finger, they can't do it. You say, why? Because they're not healers anyway. Jesus could. Peter cut Malchus's ear off. Jesus said, let me have that. Peter, put your sword away. Put it back on and there wasn't even any blood. Can you imagine what those soldiers felt like? Can you imagine what Malchus felt like taking Jesus to Pilate? Whoa, I got my ear cut off. This guy put it back on and it didn't even bleed. Can you imagine how fearful he must have been? Number three, Jesus' power to heal was not magic or witchcraft. Let me say that again. Jesus' power to heal was not magic or witchcraft. So look at John chapter 10. We're right there, just a page over. John chapter 10, look at verse number 17. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man take it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There was a division, therefore, among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, he hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, these are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? Hello. Even the Jews understood, why would the devil try to heal things that were devilish? Now, I say that to say this. Jesus' healing wasn't a planned ceremony or a planned service, usually. There's a story in the Bible of a lady who had an issue of blood for many years, spent all her money on the doctors. She said, if I can go and just touch the hem of his garment, maybe I could be healed. And she went and she touched him and she was healed. Jesus stopped and said, who touched me? I felt virtue leave me. He didn't even go to heal her. She went to him to get healing. It wasn't a planned part on his part. Now, watch this. Jesus used healing to help people hear the truth and want to be saved. Folks, when faith healing becomes somebody coming to make money and make a show, make themselves popular, it's wrong. It's wrong. These guys make millions and millions and millions of dollars in their faith healing centers and make a name for themselves. That's not what Jesus did. Now, I believe God does the healing. Yes, I do. I believe God works miracles in healing even today. I had a lady this week came to my office. She was expecting. The baby is breech. And she said, Pastor, could you pray? I said, I'd be glad to. Now, if that baby turns, it's not me, it's God. But when I prayed, I said, God, you could turn the baby. You could make everything work that way. But if that's not your will, you've given man the ability to make sure that baby can be delivered safely. Help us to accept what you have for us. I'm a realist. I want the baby to turn for their sake. But if it doesn't mean God didn't heal them. Everybody doing okay? Man, I'm having fun. I'm going to make a statement that's pretty rough here. You ready? Modern faith healing is a fraud and does not replicate what Jesus did, no matter how many times they say, in the name of Jesus.
That's right.
Can I tell you something? None of those faith healers live forever. How come they can't keep healing themselves? I love this statement. Nobody's ever answered it for me. Oral Roberts believed in faith healing, but he had to open a hospital. Why? Oral Roberts Hospital. If a man could heal, why did he have to have a hospital? You see, it's such a fraud. And it's giving Christianity a bad name, just so you know. Do I believe in healing? Yes, I do. Do I believe that God can supernaturally heal? Yes, I do. But that doesn't mean just because I ask and God doesn't do it that I don't have faith. It may not be God's will. Now, I have two more things I want to say here and I'll be done. Jesus used different, and I'm going to use this word loosely here, different methods to heal people. There were times he would touch them. There were times he would speak to them. There were times he spit in the dirt and used spittle, mud, to heal them. There were times he healed them from a distance. There were times people came to him and touched him. By the way, he didn't have a praise and worship service before he did it, just to get everybody wound up. You find nowhere in Scripture where they're having a praise and worship service, raising their hands and jigabooing around and jumping up and down and saying, I got it, I got it, I got it, I got it. It's not there. Okay? So there were many different ways Jesus did this. It wasn't standing in front of 1,000 people saying, okay, your sciatic nerve's been hurting and God's got a miracle for you. Do you feel it? Do you have the faith in Jesus' name? Do you have the faith in Jesus' name? Oh, yeah, I do. Do you have? And back and forth and back and forth. Now bend. And all of a sudden, oh, I can bend now. It doesn't hurt. I look at that stuff and say, y'all are crazy. And I, again, I use Ernest Angley because he worked out of the cathedral there in Akron and Cleveland area there a lot. I've been soul winning and met people that would go to his places, and he paid them to go there to get healed each time. They made money going to the healing service. I said, one guy, I said, how many times you been healed? He said, I lost count. He said, I'd have to go look at my bank account, tell you that. That good night. He said, it's a part-time job for me. He said, it's cheap Saturday night, part-time job for me. Lastly, I think, even Jesus' healing, though, doesn't mean these folks never got sick again. You say that again. Even Jesus' healing did not mean these folks never got sick again. They all died eventually. Can I tell you something? Just because Jesus made that blind man's eyes to open didn't mean he didn't die. He's not still alive today. And don't take this the wrong way. Even Jesus' healing of our bodies is temporary, because our bodies are corrupted by sin. One day, when we get to heaven, they're not going to need corruption because there's no sin, and we won't have need of healing because we will be sinless, have our glorified body, and we'll not be sick.
Amen.
He's cared for our healing eternally. If you went to Isaiah 61:1, Jesus, when he was starting his ministry, opened up the Bible and read Isaiah 61:1. And the Spirit of the Lord is upon me and hath anointed me to preach the gospel. It talks about those that are bruised, brokenhearted, those that are ill, those that are bound in prison. And they said, what are you doing that for? He said, I'm he. And talks about binding up the brokenhearted and healing those people. And that was what the Spirit of the Lord was upon him for to do. Can I tell you something? All men are sinners. All men are going to die. That means we're all going to get sick at least once in our life. Everybody listen to me very carefully here. I don't care what method you use for medication. I know people that it's natural all the way. Tree bark, swamp water, all that kind of stuff. And God bless you. You can eat all the grass you want. And then there's people that you take a pill for whatever ails you. I think somewhere in the middle is reality. Okay? I do go to the doctor when my wife makes me. A lot. Sometimes. I hate going to the doctor. A couple years ago, she convinced me it was time to start having a yearly checkup just to make sure I already knew everything that I know, that I'm okay. So I've been doing it, getting blood work, paying $100 for the doctor to tell me, come back in a year and pay me another $100. But it keeps the wife happy, and thank God I got a doctor that's got some sense. My doctor, I was having troubles. That's probably putting it a little too strong. I'm not a person that likes sleep. I don't do a lot of it. And even when I did go to sleep, I didn't sleep much. And finally, after about 30 years as an adult, I said, Doc, is there anything you can take to help you sleep? She said, well, how many hours a night do you sleep? I said, well, I lay down from this time to this time. She said, well, what's your sleep cycle like? I said, I'll sleep for an hour, be awake for a half hour, sleep for an hour and a half, be awake for 45 minutes, sleep for an hour, and then I'm up. She said, how do you live? I said, I've been doing that for 30 years. She said, oh, Pastor. And she gave me something called melatonin. It's not a prescription. It's natural. Man, it changed my life. I can actually lay down and sleep for 4 or 5 hours and not wake up. Or if I do wake up, I'm not going, for the next hour and a half. after almost a year of that, it has changed my life. I've helped some people in our church with it. I've helped some other people with it. It's natural. My doctor didn't say go out and take a bunch of pills. She said, try this. I was having troubles with my hip a couple years ago, and I thought, man, I'm going to have this stupid thing replaced. She said, you got a good chiropractor? I said, mm-hmm. She said, go tell him I told you to contact him. Got my hip better in shape here. Thank God. She has enough sense to know that it's not all medication. There's a little bit on both sides there. And I trust a doctor like that. Now, when I've had pneumonia, or like I did a year ago, I had walking pneumonia, or whatever that was. I've had pneumonia 6 times, I think. She gets on me, and it's okay. But I knew when I was pretty close to pneumonia and went in, I said, I think I got walking pneumonia. And she listened to all the lungs and everything else. She said, you're right. Gave me what I needed, got through it. There's times you just have to go. I understand that. Now listen to me. But all that healing comes from God. God gave man the knowledge. You might get upset with people taking certain kind of medicine because it's not the way you choose. Don't criticize them. And I don't think you ought to criticize somebody that goes a natural route. Whichever way, if you want to drink pond water for all of your problems, go for it. I fell in enough ponds, I'm not drinking that scum. Amen? I've had enough bad water in my life, I don't want to drink it. Now, if you do, that's fine. You can drink all that barley, green, something that looks like that's not going down the hatch. Say, well, you just got to try it. No, you can try it. I'll die early. I'm just quite content. And I'm not mad at you. Don't criticize me for not doing it. I'm not going to criticize you for doing it. That's where I live with this. But healing is temporary at best. It's very rare to live 100 years. Nobody's lived 1,000 years, ever. So everybody's going to get sick. Everybody's going to die. People think that God has forsaken them just because they get sick. Now, if I ever get to the point where I get nauseated and get the flu, God and I make a deal. You keep it down, I'll work extra hard. I do not like, there's two places in your body that should be one way, and this is the one way in, and there's another place that's the other way. All right? I make a deal with God. You keep it going the right direction, and I'll put the extra hours in as soon as I feel better here, God, but please don't let me throw up. I'll sit there and beg God. Oh, God, please don't let me throw up. Oh, God, please don't let me. I beg God. My wife said, just throw up and get it over with. No. It doesn't get it over with me. It just makes it worse. Now, we need to be healthy and as healthy as we can so that we can serve God and serve the people we love most. It's amazing as you go through the scripture and watch how many people Jesus healed of their senses, their hearing, their sight, their sense of the ability to talk and other senses there. He healed them and healed them, and he wanted them to enjoy life. By the way, even the people that Jesus raised from the dead, they had to die again. Can you imagine Lazarus? He'd been dead for 4 days. He'd been in heaven for 4 days, and he had to come back. I bet you he was pretty upset with Mary and Martha. Especially because he realized he had to die again. I don't know about you. Now, if I'm only going to die for a couple seconds or a couple minutes, that's one thing. But if I'm going to be dead 4 days and then I got to come back, forget it. Sorry, babe. Just forget it. Throw dirt in my face and get it over with. I mean, he was already in the grave and came back. They all had to die again. Jesus' healing is temporary. We've all faced those times of needing God to heal us. Great. Some he has, some he hasn't. But may I say this, even when he has, it's still only temporary. It's not forever. Don't get mad at him for it. We're going to suffer the consequences of sowing and reaping sin. It's not God judging you. That is just the consequences of us all being sinners. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done for the night. Jesus wanted to help heal our senses.